Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. It's another edition of Focus on Community. How you doing? I'm Frank Rush. Nice to have you along. This weekend, Tammy Silverman from Indiana Youth Institute, one of our regular guests, joins us again. And Tammy, this weekend we're talking about discipline, actually, now. And that's a pretty wide open subject.
It is. We're really talking a lot about in-school suspensions, out-of-school suspensions, and expulsions. So kind of the extreme end of school discipline.
Well, discipline, I mean, let's face it. If the kids kind of take care of themselves and there's no big problem, it's really not a big deal, and it's not a very interesting topic, and the show would already be over. But if kids are having problems figuring out the proper way to behave, then it's up to the adults to figure out the way to teach them. And that's kind of what we're about today. We're trying to figure out the best way to actually teach kids what they need to know to behave, right?
Absolutely. And how what's really going on in our schools, right? Actually, in the last legislative session, the state legislature recognized that there were some issues with school discipline. So they passed, it was House Enrolled Act 1421. I know you're dying to know the exact number, so you can go and look it up. And what it did was it required the Department of Education to take a look at their school behavior and discipline policies. And it said that DOE needs to provide schools with some more tools, some best practices, some new data and information so that the schools can, if they need to, update some of their practices that we now know probably aren't as productive as we would hope they could be.
Okay, now here's the thing that I can already hear everybody, even though radio is a one-way street, I can already hear it coming back. Well, you know, when I was in school, that's not really wasn't that big of a deal of a problem. And I myself firsthand can tell you that being on the receiving end of a nice, long, wide, varnished piece of oak or hickory was the way discipline was handled back in my day, and for a lot of people, you know, and a lot of folks are saying, what's the problem nowadays?
Well, I think there's, you know, everything's different about being a kid today. You know, We've talked about social media and anxiety, and we know more about stress and family structures and attachment theory and all of that kind of stuff. That probably was around when we were younger. I mean, I remember teachers having those paddles held up on their, you know, they had it tacked up on their blackboard, right? It was kind of a visual deterrent at the time.
Well.
It didn't get used very much, right? But yet, depending on the teacher, it was there. And I think what we've learned is that really for any, and it was the same way back for all of our teachers, the best way to deal with discipline is to promote good behavior and prevent that bad behavior. And what does that mean? Now, we also know that these kids, some of the kids that do get in-school suspensions, out-of-school suspensions, expulsions, you know, if they don't look at that as a punishment, right, it may be a way that they're getting out of school, which is not productive. We want to keep the kids in school. We want to keep them behaving. We want all the classrooms to be safe. And there's some new information that DOE has made available so that you can actually look up your kid's school to say how many of these occurrences are happening. And we have some tools to ask your school, like, how do you discipline? What are those policies? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I you know, and I'll admit, back when I was in school, I was no angel. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't burn the building down or anything like
right.
that. But, suspension, I was, hallelujah, there's a vacation day, let's go, you know, and
is counterproductive, right?
Yeah.
You know what, absolutely.
So now we're trying to figure, I mean, like I said, a lot of folks are probably, you could probably answer this, are we really making this a lot more complicated than it used to be? Because it seems like we analyze everything three ways from Sunday nowadays, so, I mean, is it necessary, or is it, and if so, okay, that's fine. But are things really all that grossly different than when you and I were in school?
The question is, it depends, right? And it varies from school to school. And that's why, you know, we're data geeks over here at Indiana Youth Institute. And so first and foremost for us is to be able to understand what is going on at your home school, right? Because maybe they do have a great handle on the disciplinary procedures. Maybe they are handling it in the classroom on a case-by-case basis, and they're not having a bunch of kids that are being removed from the school or from the class. You know, one of the things that when we were doing this research was, well, what are the reasonable alternatives, right? Well, some of them are, you know, community service, making kids take extra, do restitution. So you don't get out of class, but now you have to come in on Sunday and you have to do community service around the school. That's a pretty, I know for a lot of kids I know, that's a big deterrent. Not only do they not, you know, they don't want to come in on Saturday to do extra work, or have to do community restitution for their actions. So rather than getting time out of the classroom, they actually would have, and I think they're, you know, that used to be a common thing too. If you get in trouble, you're going to write this extra paper, you're going to do this extra, and nobody wants to do that, right? So it's teaching kids, giving them consequences that are meaningful for them and hopefully productive, that helps them make better choices in the future.
Well, you're right. I mean, if you can't get them to clean their own room, and getting them to clean the hallway in school is not exactly something they're going to want to cooperate with.
Well,
you know, so the Department of Education has this website that you can actually go, like you said, you can take a look at your school. And I know that we've got the results here from a couple of schools, Terre Haute South and Northview High School. So you go to the website, which, by the way, was the Department of Education, right? That's where we go to find this.
It is the Department of Education.
First off, let me ask you, do you guys have links on this for IYI.org?
Okay. We do.
That makes it easier. Okay.
Straight to us, IYI.org, and then you don't have to know that it's inview.doe.in.gov/everything, right?
Yeah.
You can go to us, and we have the link there. But if you go to Northview High School, for example, it's called Environment. If you go there, it tells you how many in-school suspensions they've had and how it compares to the state average, how many out of schools, how many expulsions. So, for example, with Northview, it says that 13.5% of their disciplinary actions are in-school suspensions, and that's compared to a state average of 4.4%. So it's about three times as many as the state average.
Mm-hmm. But yet their out-of-school suspensions is a lot lower.
You're right. And so, again, that doesn't you can even drill down a little bit closer and say, how does it compare to schools that are similar? So for in-school suspensions, schools that have similar key demographics, right, is how they define that, mm-hmm. It's a little higher. It's 5.4%. But again, Northview's pretty high, but yet it looks like they're really low on out-of-school suspension. So,
okay. You
know, that's a conversation to have in that school, as well as to know what falls into each of those buckets, right? So if you have a student there, you know what warrants an in-school, what warrants out-of-school, what would warrant an expulsion.
Okay, and then like South, their out-of-school suspensions is a lot lower than the state average. At just 2.4 to 5.7 is the state, and then 2.4 for them down there. And then their expulsions is also lower than the state average at just 0.1% as opposed to 0.3 for the state. So you can really kind of break this down and really see what's – and obviously the difference between Northview and South is fair amount, because Northview is a little bit less population than what South has got. So
sure,
you know.
Well, and this whole tool has all of that. You know, it has their general population. It has, you know, it's saying that South has their total enrollment for the student population of the high school is 1733, right? So just exactly what you said. And then if you look there at Northview, it is 1016. So there is a pretty big difference, and it tells you even what those trends have been over time. So, you know, there's a ton of information. We're focusing on the disciplinary numbers, but it's also nice that the general public, a community member, a parent, a grandparent, can now have this information at their fingertips. So you don't have to guess. You don't have to kind of be in the dark or take general numbers. You can pull it up yourself.
So what does this really tell you? Although it's very interesting, like you said, for people like you that are number geeks and you think this is all really cool, but what do you get out of this? I mean, do you use this to help figure out which district you want to live in, or do you use it? You know what I'm getting at. I mean, how do you make use of this and make sense of it and make it work for you?
Well, I think one of the first and foremost is to understand, does your school use one form of punishment over the other? Like we were saying, it looks like Northview skews heavily on in-school rather than out-of-school suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that conversation again, does that make sense? And do you understand what that means and how it could impact your student? The other thing is, sometimes if the numbers don't make sense, that's equally as important to be able to see. One of the things we talked about is it looks like this data, there's something a little bit wonky about it, because it says that South Vigo High School has zero in school suspensions.
Well, we know that's not. Yeah, that's
right.
Not, yeah. Okay, I don't care. It's good school. There's nice people who work down there, but no, that's wrong.
Right, and so. I think the people that work there would say that, right? And So then that begs the question of why are these numbers wrong, and what do we need to do to get the right ones up there so that our families and community can have a better and a clearer, more accurate picture.
Well, and this makes a good tool, too, I would imagine, because let's face it, a lot of folks nowadays will talk about the fact of, you know, and debate, how do schools handle discipline? You know, say, well, my kid should or shouldn't have to go through this, that, whatever. You can actually see the policies here and how they're applied in a lot of cases, right?
Exactly. And I think that's the big takeaway is, you know, the data, we often say, as much as we love data, it's only as good as what you do with it, right? So it's really to prompt those conversations to say, you know, what are those policies? What policies fall into each of these different buckets? How and when does the school involve local police department or law enforcement? What behaviors are specific that put my child at risk of being removed from the class or the school, right? So again, then as a family member, as a parent, you can step in and make sure that you're having those conversations and that you're reinforcing those expectations at home.
And you can also take a look here too, because we would hope that this, and I would say probably with educators, it's probably less likely to happen, but it does break it down into socioeconomic levels,
yes,
as well as racial levels too, where you can actually see how, you know, well, first of all, who's breaking the rules and how is the discipline being handled and who's being affected by it, which is something to at least be aware of.
You bet. You bet. And you hit the nail right on the head, is that there's a good amount of research said that even though we're trying our best not to discipline differently amongst groups, that sometimes that does happen, and that students that are economically disadvantaged, students with disabilities, kids of color are more likely to be more severely disciplined, right? So again, this helps us, one, check ourselves, two, say, what do our policies say? Do we need to update those policies? And then also, hopefully, there are some instances where I've seen, as we're looking across the state, there are some schools that are doing a fantastic job, right? So we also need to celebrate and applaud those hardworking professionals that are out there every day. Because again, we're not saying kids should not be disciplined, right? I mean, we know that the classrooms need to be safe for everyone. And so it's really, how much information do we know? How are we doing compared to how we want to be doing?
And this is good information, too, for the schools as well as the Department of Education, because let's face it, we want the kids to behave. But we also need to have the ideas on what it takes to get that end result. And sometimes with the sharing of this information, that helps us all kind of brainstorm a little bit and maybe come up with ideas that we wouldn't normally on our own.
Absolutely. And we know that kids that receive particularly out-of-school suspensions and expulsions are more likely to drop out, and they're more likely to become involved in the juvenile justice system, which is not something any of us want, right? Because, again, that's just that kind of, we'd rather have them engaged in the education system than the juvenile justice system.
Like I said, I never hurt anybody, but I know that on the time or two that I did get suspended... you know, hey, idle hands, you know, I mean, it's like, I was going to find something to do.
Right.
And most kids will find stuff to do. Unfortunately, they don't seem to be overly creative on the good side. They will find things that will normally get them in trouble.
Well, and I think that they're testing boundaries, right? Which is a normal developmental thing. But when they're in school with trained teachers that know how to deal with that, it's much better for them, right, than if they're out of school.
And I think one of the things you'll find from these numbers, if you really want to sit there and read through all this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you'll find that just because, and a lot of people say this all the time, it's like, oh, well, they're in one of those richy school districts, so they got all kinds of money and everything up there. Yeah. Well, okay, maybe they are. Let's face it, there are different economic levels from one county to the next, one city to the next, east, west, north, south. But you can probably go through and find some of these so-called ritzy schools compared to some of the poor schools. They've got some of the same problems, and you might be surprised at some of the problems that some of these schools have that at first blush you wouldn't expect.
You bet. And I think that's a tremendous message to get across, is that all of our kids have issues, right? Like there is not one certain group that you can say you know, has domain over all of these behavior issues. Again, as you said, doesn't matter socioeconomically. We have kids that are struggling with mental health issues. We have kids that are using drugs and alcohol. We have kids, right? And that happens district to district. And the more we understand that, the more we can better intervene proactively, hopefully intervene, the better it is for all of us.
And for the most part, things are different today because you'll sit there and say, oh, you know, I'm 40, 50 now, and big deal. I had a beer when I was a kid. Yeah, well, okay, fine. But things are different nowadays, and the pressure between kids, it's different than it was back then.
It is. And yeah, we're still talking about bullying and social media and how that all turns up, but really it translates to a lot of additional stress for our kids.
And the more you know, the better you can help them handle it. I mean, of course, Tammy, you and I were fortunate. Our lives were perfect. We had none of these problems. But we want to make sure that...
Well, and again, I don't think it, you know, this still isn't... Having this website is a step forward, and it provides information. But it's not a magic wand, right? And it wasn't perfect when we were kids. This still isn't perfect. But we need to keep trying, right? We need to keep trying to say, how do we adapt to the kids today? And how do we make sure that they're getting the supports and the education they need.
Okay, the Indiana Department of Education, they have published their online data portal where students, families, and leaders, and everybody can sit down and take a look at disciplinary actions and other things with the schools. And of course, like you said, luckily, you don't have to remember some big, long web address that you'll never remember.
Nope.
You can do a couple of things. You can either listen, pay close attention here, listen to what I'm about to tell you, or you can actually just go back and listen to this entire program on a podcast on our website. But otherwise, IYI.org, right?
IYI.org. Very straightforward, very easy.
And of course, you've got the whole way, you've got the links and everything there that you need to connect to all the information, right?
We sure do. And you just, the link's right there, and you just type in the name of your school and it'll pull up all the information you're looking for.
And if you want to, you can also take a look at this and see just how much better your kid's school is compared to the others.
So we hope that's the case, right?
Well,
we hope that they're doing great things, and that would just reinforce it.
While you're at the website, too, you can also feel free to snoop around. You guys have lots of stuff there for folks to look at.
All the time, free and available to use. I know there's been a lot of talk lately about vaping, and we have some information about, unfortunately, the rates have been climbing in Indiana, and we know that there's going to be a lot of focus on the upcoming legislative session, if I can get that out, talking about kids and vaping.
Real quickly, I'll put you on the spot. I know you got to go, and I do too, because we're kind of running out of time, but I know that IYI, Indiana Youth Institute, sometimes you do different programs around the state, little luncheons and that kind of thing. You guys got anything coming up here in the near future and the not so near future in our area?
And again, that's all on our website, and we do them. They're called Youth Worker Cafes all the time, right in your neighborhood. So if you just go to our website and click on the events near me, it'll pull them all up, and you can tell us what county you're in, and then you can see what's coming up in your area.
Okay, and if folks have maybe a question or a suggestion about those, or if they'd like to see one come to their area, they can also contact you through there, too, and say, hey, come down here.
They sure can, because right now we do those in about 80 of the 92 counties, so there's a good chance there's one near you, but we also talk to everybody in those communities to say, really, the youth workers, right, and so teachers, educators, after-school providers, and say, what's important to you right now? It's not like we come in with our own prescribed list, right? We ask you, what's going on in your area, and how can we help bring some new information and possibly some action steps or best practices to your area?
Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute, IYI.org. You can again listen back to this program on our website as a podcast. Check it out there. We'll see you next weekend. That's it for Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.